All right, as Matthew McConaughey would say. Yeah, man, Dickie Betts, what a way to kick off the program. I'll tell you, I never get enough of that. Highway Call from 1973, one of my top 10 albums of all time. I love it. I can't help but that he was calling himself Richard Betts. I think he was trying to be fancy back then or something. But that album, man, is good. It's just good. That's all there is to it. Welcome to the Kudzu Radio Hour, broadcasting live from the 69th floor of the Hunter S. Thompson Memorial Skyscraper downtown. That's right, baby. 69th floor. You do the math. Hey, that's right. That's right. Because I can't, because I don't do math. But anyway, welcome to the program. We've got a real good one for you this evening, and really, really, really happy to be here. And I think my co-producer is going to be on here in a minute. I'm not sure, but generally, she calls in. Tonight on the program, we have calling all the way from Great Britain, the great Roscoe Levee. I'm not sure if it's Levee or Levy. I think Roxanne probably knows. But anyway, all I know is he's one heck of a slide guitar player. Well, not just slide. He plays the guitar like a ring and a bell, man. I've been watching videos off and on all day. So good. So good. And the second half of the program, we have a girl. We have a woman who goes by the singular name Peach, and she is a blues phenomenon based out in Los Angeles, California. All right, it's time now to bring on my co-host. You know her, you love her, you can't live without her. She's a photographer, She's a photographer and does all kinds of great stuff, a world traveler, and a finalist on last year's American Idol. That's true.
You Rocky, left out the part where I'm a royal pain in your butt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was trying to not go there because I'm in a happy mood, but it's true. It is true. excuse me. So anyway, here we are again on another Sunday night in beautiful downtown Spartanburg, South Carolina, high atop the Hunter S. Thompson Memorial Tower, which of course they don't have, but somebody should have. I would like it. And if we had a 69 floor building in a 69 floor building in Spartanburg, it would flip everybody out, because I think we've got one thing that's construed as a skyscraper and it really barely scrapes the cloud. You know, it barely gets up over the fog, but it's like, hey, what can you say, man? So anyway, we got all kinds of great music coming up today. And then we've got our guest, and then we've got the, later on in the broadcast, we've got Kudzu News, actual news items from the world of Southern music and music in general, all sorts of stuff that has been assembled by my right-hand man, Percy Peabody. Oh, no, it wasn't.
So Percy's performing your right-hand duties now?
Well, that's a little personal.
You said it, not me.
Is there anything you need, Mr. Buffalo? Is there anything you need?
Well, Percy, not right now. Not right now, Percy.
Well, just let me know if there is, because there you go. I'm happy to do whatever you need me to do.
Thank you, Percy, but please step away from the buffalo. Thank you. I worry about that guy. He gets right up on me because his glasses are as thick as the bottom of a Coca-Cola bottle, and he gets right up on me because he can't see, and then his eyes look huge. Looks like something from a Warner Brothers cartoon. I don't mean any harm, person. Go sit down. Sit in your corner. Read your Kindle. Yeah, okay. Good boy. All right. Got that under control. Anyway, all that and more coming up on the program tonight. Do you have anything to add at this particular juncture there, Roggy?
I have anything nothing to add.
On? Anything going on?
With me?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay, good. Nope. All right. Nope. As you may know, Roxanne, and you probably do know, Glenn Campbell, growing up, he was one of my favorite singers. And also one of my favorite guitar players. Used to play guitar with the Beach Boys, all that kind of stuff. Great songwriter. And 2 years ago, he put out what was supposed to be his final album because he's got Alzheimer's, and it's called Ghost on the Canvas. And there's several songs on there that he wrote that are very poignant about, you know, getting Alzheimer's and et cetera, but I was just, you know, I actually didn't hear the record until a couple of weeks ago. It's been out for 2 years. But I heard it, and I was like, I'll be doggone if Glenn doesn't sound just like he did in the 60s and 70s. And he's like in his 70s. That's pretty cool. So I thought I would play one of those, man. I want to play the title cut because I've been really playing this a good little bit when I'm not playing 3 Days Whiskey or Stevie Salas, you know, all that stuff. It's just like, I'm just like in a musical, I don't know, just some sort of a wonderful little musical world lately. All kinds of stuff. And I will say that again, we had 3 Days Whiskey on last program, and my goodness, they're from Germany, and folks, you've got to look them up. You've got to get their CD because there is not a bad song on there. I mean, it's just reminds me of 70s heyday of 70s rock and southern rock and everything, melodies and guitars. And I mean, it's good.
One of my late friends refers to that as back when rock was righteous.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know what? That's right. I couldn't have said that better. I couldn't have said that better myself.
Oh, dear. Doug's in the room.
Yeah, that's because he comes sometime when you don't even expect, you know, how it goes. All right. This is Glenn Campbell, and pretty soon we're going to have Roscoe. Not Roscoe P. Coltrane, but Roscoe. Is it Levy or Levy? When the Levy breaks.
Gotcha.
All right, there we go. Glenn Campbell, Ghost on the Canvas.
I know a place between life and death for you and me. Best take hold on the threshold of eternity and see the ghost on the canvas. People don't see us. Ghost on the canvas. People don't know. When they're looking at soul, in between here and there, there's a place that we can grow. Spirits make love in a wheat field with crows. Ghost on a canvas. heart always knows when it sings. Like a ghost on a canvas, never can have a ghost on a canvas. It's the soul that makes them go.
Campbell. I remember the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour back when I was a kid. It was very cool. Very cool. All right. You're listening to the Kudzu Radio Hour. Our first guest hasn't called in yet, but will shortly, I'm sure. He's got a call all the way from Great Britain, and I'm sure that takes a little bit longer. Please forgive me for chomping ice while I'm talking. How rude. That's right, baby. All right, well, we're going to do this. 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 We're going to play some more music. And, yeah, let's do some Cowboy.
Hi, I'm Tommy Talton. Here's a song from my old band Cowboy on the Universal Music Tribe's Buffalo Radio Show.
I was very fortunate to get Miss Bonnie Bramlett to record this song. She did just a kick-ass version of it. She's out here somewhere. Bonnie, are you out there? I can't really tell, but I saw her a little bit. There she is right there, man. God bless her. Thank you.
Cowboy, when they did that reunion album about 3 years ago, and Bonnie Bramlett joined them on stage, it's pretty cool. Well, it looks like we've got our caller on the line, Roscoe Levy from Great Britain. So let's go ahead, before we bring him on, and play one of his songs. This is one off the latest album, and I it was hard to pick three. They're all so good, but I just picked out the ones that I liked the best. You know, this one here is called My Gospel. It's Roscoe Levy and Southern Slide.
I'm going back where the hills reach the sky. I'm going back where the hills reach the sky. I'm going back where the hills reach the sky, back to the place where my mama did die. Won't you bring me my whiskey to bed? Won't you bring me my whiskey to bed? Won't you bring me my whiskey to bed? The way things are going, I might wake up dead. My friends before.
Roscoe Levy and Southern Slide. And with that, let's see if we've got our guest on the line. Roscoe,
hello.
Is that
how you?
How you
doing? It is he, yes. How you
it
doing?
It is he. It is doing well. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, yeah, good. It's pretty late over here, but
Is it? Yeah, 5 hours later, I suppose.
I think it is, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've got a friend I talked to in England on Skype, and he's like, I know at 3 p.m, it's, you know, like 8 o'clock at night.
Is it sunny where you are?
Huh?
Have you got the sunshine where you are?
Yeah, sun's shining, but it's cold right now. Well, no, it's not. Oh, you mean right this minute? No, it's 7:30 in the evening.
Oh, is it? So, oh, okay.
Yeah,
huh.
Yeah. I think it's five hours later there. So I guess that's real late.
It's about half 12 here.
Oh wow, call A. Well, appreciate you calling in.
No,
well,
man.
Was having
no,
experience.
All good. Thank you.
Well, I always have an experience when anybody calls from Europe, as you know, the time schedules are so. Well, at least we haven't had to deal with anybody calling from Australia. Oh my gosh. I couldn't even calculate that. You know, that'd be like,
I think it'd be tomorrow, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he would have to call tomorrow, for me to get it today. I'm very confused. I'm already confused. All right, let's talk a little bit. I want to introduce. You and your band, I've been watching a lot of your videos and just having a high old time watching them.
Thanks, man.
So, yeah, sure. Yeah. Just being honest. I've introduced your band online as a rock and roll infused gospel, blues, and country for the 21st century. From Kent in the UK, of course, and sort of like I said it was a mix of Steve Marriott, the Raconteurs, Eric Clapton, and a little bit of Duane Allman, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, all that. I hope that comes across. Yeah, he's that Slide. You do a fine job on Slide. I'm a big fan of Slide guitar.
Me too.
I can tell you
I was kind of brought up listening to a lot of the old kind of blues players, but I myself didn't really start until I saw the White Stripes in about 2004 when they were over here on tour, I went to see them at a big venue over here called Brixton Academy, and I saw Jack White play Slide live. I mean, I was probably sort of 15, 16 at that time, I guess, and maybe a bit older. It was just fantastic seeing him play Slide, and then I kind of wanted to go home. I went home and sort of taught myself how to play Slide, and then got into the old kind of, dug out all my old records again, or rather my father's records, and kind of like the Allman Brothers and all those kind of old guys, and then just really got really deep into it, you know. But it was seeing Jack White then that kind of reignited it for me.
That's amazing. That's the way it works a lot of times. It's like I was talking to this artist from Germany last week, and he was saying something into that same effect. It's like you once you discover, doesn't matter how you discover it, you know, and you start tracing it back. So you go from Jack White to those, and then you start listening to the Allmans and Clapton and stuff like that, and then you discover the people that influenced them. And before you know it, you're listening to Robert Johnson. And
exactly, you know, yeah.
Yes, it's really cool the way that works. Yeah. I like it. So when did you first, at what age, you already said that. I was going to ask you, at what age did you first start playing guitar? So were you already playing guitar before you started Slide?
Yeah, I was quite lucky in that my parents really supported me playing from a very early age. I started when I was 5 or 6, and my dad was in the Navy, in the UK Navy, and he spent a lot of time over in the States in the 70s, kind of doing his tour of duty kind of thing over there and what have you. And he brought back a huge vinyl collection, all these great bands, the Allmans and Delaney, Bramley, I'm a massive fan of, and album, and all these kind of people, and that was kind of what I was brought up on. We didn't really have like the modern day radio on. It was just these old records. So I thought that was modern music at that time when I was growing up. You know, obviously wasn't, but it's kind of what my parents played. So I was very lucky in that respect. And then my dad played guitar, and he taught me the kind of basics and stuff. And then I just really got into these old kind of recordings and stuff, and just got more and more into it. And then I guess I got better than he did. And then, you know, I just kind of learnt from records, and just bought records and listened to them, and mimicked it as best I could, you know, and kind of taught myself to play a bit by bit like that.
Yeah. That's great. Well, how long have you had, how long have you had your band together?
The Southern Slide, we've been going since 2011. Doing kind of, what we do. And the first record was we did really well with that record, critically acclaimed, and people kind of loved it. It was in the UK. It was very Americana kind of album. It was quite bandy, as in the band, Leon.
Right.
Leon Helm kind of style, a little bit more acoustic, a little bit more laid back than the new record. We got together and we kind of jammed a lot, and I had some songs that we played, and then we went straight into the studio very early on and just kind of recorded them straight to reel-to-reel, you know, analog tape, and just kind of did it in one or two hits, really. And then the second album, I wanted to get a bit more of a production kind of on it, and I've been listening to a lot of Joe Cocker and Mad Dogs and Englishmen Tour, Russell and all those kind of guys, you know, Carl Radle on bass, and, you know, the guys that would become Derek and the Dominoes, and we wanted to go a little bit more in that kind of direction, so we got some horn guys in, we got some backing singers in, and we did a bit more of a full production on the new record.
Right. Well, you're talking about my people there. When you talk about, you know, when you talk about Delaney and Bonnie, Mad Dogs and Englishmen, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's all my personal favorite stuff. I mean, that's
my exact same as that, man. Same as that. Delaney Bramlett is
the king.
My biggest influence as a songwriter.
Oh, it was great. He was great. He was so good. And I was so blessed that I got to interview. I was the last person to interview him before he died, but I got to talk to him for a long time, and he had invited me out to come out and visit him out in Los Angeles at a really country house out in LA, man, out in the country section, because he was from Mississippi, so he's a real country kind of guy, but real easy to talk to and everything, considering the fact that he was one of the most talented human beings ever to walk the earth.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know,
he's a songwriter. He influenced so many people. And the thing that I really loved about him, I mean, I kind of found him because I was a big fan of Clapton and Cream and what have you, and Blind Faith,
right.
And then kind of found out about Delaney through that, and then sort of, just got more and more into what he was about. I know he produced and sort of wrote most of Clapton's first album, and I was kind of like, who's this Delaney guy then? Who is this dude? And then found his records with Delaney and Bonnie, of course, and his earlier stuff. And that was just fantastic. I love the way he kind of melded, some funk with country, with soul and rock and roll. And he just kind of made it all work. It's kind of, you know, he took all these different elements, even a bit of Motown as well, and he just made them work. And it's just genius, his stuff.
Yeah. And as I don't know what it was about the man, too, that he was... I say he was like him and Bonnie both, the Delaney and Bonnie band, it was like a conduit. It brought together, you know, what gets me is it brought together all these musicians from England and U.S. and just all over, you know. And at one point, you know, here Delaney's got George Harrison, Eric Clapton, Duane Allman in his band at the same time, Dave Mason, you know, Leon Russell. And you're like, how in the world could that possibly be? But, you know, that's just the coolest. It's the coolest thing in the world, man. It was the coolest thing in the world. But, I'm glad to hear that you Yeah, I could talk about that all day, but I'll move right along. The latest album, your latest album, Get It While You Can, and people need to get it while they can. When I read that it was recorded analog, I love that because I'm a musician too, and I've always said I prefer the warm sounds of analog over the compressed, thin sound that digital has. I mean, analog's just such a much more warmer tube sound, kind of a, I don't know, it's just that way. And I was glad to hear you did your record that way. It was really, and you can tell when you listen to it, you know?
Good, I'm glad. Yeah, we kind of went in and just did it over 12 days, I think. And the band recorded live, and then the vocals were overdubbed, you know, as you're working through it, and obviously the backing vocals and stuff they were put on after. But the main band played everything live, the solos and what have you were live. And it's just more fun like that, you know. I find if it's the digital kind of route is you dissect everything and it's all very anal and kind of you build
right.
it up stages, you know, and you lose the vibe and you lose
right.
that, you know. You know, we record it, and if it's not working, then we kind of leave it and move on to the next track and get that one down. But yeah, it's just a much more organic way of recording, especially with the type of music that we're playing. You know, it just suits the sound, I think.
There's a lot to be said for keeping it simple. I mean, it's like I just read that Neil Young's new album. He recorded with everybody sitting around one microphone. And you know, just kind of like it was in the 50s. And
brilliant.
Just trying to keep it simple. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. But anyway, let's see. My page moved on me there on this computer. Oh, okay. On the, excuse me. On the album, are all the songs originals?
Yes, yeah. All original.
Did you write them all?
Yeah, I write everything. I've kind of throw away quite a lot of stuff, but some of the stuff that I keep, then, you know, we work up in the band and we work the arrangements out. But, I write everything and produce it all with the band. So it's my favorite part of it is actually creating the kind of music. You know, playing live's great, but I really enjoy the studio process and, you know, getting it down and watching it build. And you know, hearing it come to life almost.
Let me ask you: when you're writing a song, what's your process? Do you start? Do you have one way that you start, or do you have a certain way, or does it just go? I mean, do you come up with a melody first, or a hook first, or a title first, or words first, or what? Or does it go different ways?
I think. If I'm honest, it's kind of I use every kind of method. I think a lot of the time
right.
I'll play. I mean, I'm a dad. I've got a 2-year-old son, so getting any time alone with a guitar at the moment is kind of like heaven to me. But I'll often just kind of first thing I'll play. You know, I'll probably record it on my mobile phone or whatever's to hand, and then go back to it at a later date and work on it. I think normally vocals and lyrics are the last thing I come up with. The music kind of writes itself, I find, but the lyrics, you know, I kind of sometimes I want to say certain things as lyrics, and other times it can just come from a title or just like one lyric, one word, or one sentence rather, and then the whole song comes from that one sentence, you know. So, but you name it. I've tried it. I've tried all different ways. I've even had some dreams where I'll wake up in the middle of the night, much to my partner's. She doesn't like it when I wake her up. But some of the stuff just came to me in the middle of the night, and I was like, I've got to write it down. And I ended up writing this whole song, kind of in the middle of the night, and then fell back asleep, and then in the morning it was kind of like the ramblings of a madman, but it actually kind of worked out right, you know. So yeah, there's every way to write a song, I guess, I use.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, let's play another song from the album. I want to make sure I get at least 3 songs in, so I want to play this one called Redemption Calls, and play this and then come back and talk a little bit more. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, cool.
Can you hold on for a second?
Yeah,
it'll be
actually
3.5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, Roscoe. We'll be right back with Roscoe Levy. This is Roscoe Levy and Southern Slide Redemption Calls. Roscoe Levy and Southern Slide. Man, that's good stuff. I get the Roscoe back up here. I hate it when I hit the little thing on the computer, Roscoe, and it starts spinning and it won't make the connection. And I'm like, okay, people are waiting. But we got you. We got you back up now. Yeah, I like that song a lot, too. I pretty much like everything I've heard on the album. I played it a couple times today. And,
thank you. That was a real kind of Sergio Leone kind of. I was watching a lot of Clint Eastwood films.
Spaghetti
I think, when I wrote that one.
Yeah,
I just wanted to do something really kind of Quentin Tarantino and kind of, you know, weird. And it's a film track kind of song, I guess.
You know, funny, I picked up on that because I used to love to watch all the Good, the Bad, and Ugly and what they call the spaghetti westerns. In fact, soundtracks of Sergio, I used to, when I was writing, I write stories and stuff too. And one of the things I love to play is those soundtracks. I mean, it's just so cool. That music is so unusual, But yeah, it's funny. That song gave me that feeling, and there it was. Exactly what you were thinking. That's so cool. So I was watching the video of you on YouTube. There's some really good ones on there, and the band sounds really good live. I wanted to ask you, have you toured outside of Europe yet?
No, not outside of Europe. We've done plenty in the UK and Europe, sort of all over Europe and Scandinavia. I've done quite a lot in Norway. But in terms of the States are really, really where we want to get to. We're trying to sort out a showcase gig at the South by Southwest of all in Austin, Texas.
Oh, that
for,
would be
not
great.
This year, but for next year. As you probably know, it's quite hard. Just logistics, really. I mean, we're completely able to do it. It's just logistically, it's quite hard. But
that's for sure.
We've got some American friends that are trying to sort some stuff out for us. So fingers crossed.
I would love to see that happen. Man, South by Southwest is the. I've been there several times as a reporter and. My gosh, it's just the coolest thing in the world. I mean, it's just almost hard to decide which way to turn. There's so much going on.
Yeah,
but
it just
sounds
great.
You can discover bands just walking into because there's some different one in every club or whatever, and you can discover people and just, it's just wonderful. Yeah, I'd love to see you play there. In fact, I'd love to see you play, if you come all the way over here, maybe they could line you up with some other shows in the U.S., maybe over here in the East Coast.
Well, that's certainly the plan, I've always wanted to go to New York, and there's a lot of places I've always wanted to visit. But, yeah, we're working on it. We're just building up our fan base in the U.K. now. The album's released actually today worldwide, 27th of January. We did the album launch night on Friday night at the Great British Rock and Blues Festival at a place called Skegness. And that was packed out. There was about 500 people there. And that was absolutely fantastic. Played a lot of stuff from the new album. And people really dug it. It really went down well. So we're just trying to sort of carry on now. And we're all over the UK this year and Europe. But, as yet, nothing in the States.
No. Well, we're almost out of time for the segment. I wanted to ask you though to tell us what are your immediate plans right now for the near future.
Well, I've got quite a lot of interviews lined up, much like this. I'm doing a few with the BBC later on this week, and we're just touring. We're just about to tour the record around the UK. And we're just hitting quite a lot of the rock and roll, blues and country festivals that the UK holds. We're hitting quite a lot of them this year. So we've just got to get out there and reach more people, really, and just try and get younger people into this kind of music, because it seems to me that it might be the same in the States. I don't know, but there's too many people listening to sort of One Direction and Justin Bieber. I don't really like that. But, kind of made it my mission to try and at least educate, some of the younger people there's this wealth of great music that's out there. And there's other great bands out there, today making great music. So it's just about playing live,
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think live is our strong suit. We're quite a big band live. We have a lot of equipment and it's a proper show. And people just seem to really enjoy it. So we're just getting out there and playing and preaching what we do.
Yeah, I look forward to the day you do a live album. I really do.
That would be great.
Yeah, it'd be really good. I agree with you. You sound great in the studio, but I think live you're even better. It's kind of like some of the great Southern bands like Allman Brothers, Marshall Tucker, people like that. They sound better live too. So,
I think so. Yeah. Well, we jam a lot live, and it's kind of, you know, the song structure's there, but we kind of go off and just jam, you know, and then who knows where it's going to go. And then we come back to the song and finish
it,
you know.
That's it. But if you come back to the song, it's like Greg Allman said in an interview, you know, if you got to always, it's always got to be the song. You've got to come back to the song. But he said what he didn't like was the so-called jam bands that just get up there and they start noodling around on the guitar, and it goes off somewhere and it never even comes back to the song. It's just, it
yeah.
go somewhere, you know.
Yeah. It's all for the song, man. You got to play for the song. And then when you can play for the song, then you can jam, I think.
Perfect. 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 All right, Roscoe. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I'm going to play Some Angels Fall on the way out. And this is also on the new album. And by the way, give us your website where people can find you, and they can find you on Facebook. But you got a website.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Roscoe Levy, and RoscoeLevy.com is our website. You can download the album from iTunes and Amazon. And Some Angels Fall, the track you're about to play, actually is the single, the first single from the album. And again, it's one of our favorite. We open our shows with Some Angels Fall. It's just a great tune to open our shows with, I think.
Well, we are on the same wavelength. You know, it's funny that I listened to this twice to this album. I didn't know all that you just told me. All I knew was that Some Angels Fall was my favorite song on the album.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's kind of crazy the way that worked out. I guess I must be psychic or something, or psychotic.
You must be.
Anyway. Okay. Thank you, Roscoe, and good luck. Continue.
Thanks, man.
Luck
Thanks for having
guys.
Us on.
All right, man.
Cheers, man.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, man. Roscoe Levy, man, and Southern Slide, Some Angels Fall. That's good stuff right there. You're listening to the Kudzu Radio Hour, brought to you this week by Rock Legends Cruise 3. Are you ready to rock the boat again? I know I am. Rock Legends Cruise 3 will set sail February 19th through 23rd, 2015. Not this month coming, but next year. Leaving from Fort Lauderdale, the cruise, as always, benefits NAHA, the Native American Heritage Association. The lineup so far, and it's by no means done yet, so far they've got the Doobie Brothers, Alice Cooper, 38 Special, Marshall Tucker Band, Dickie Betts and Great Southern, Blue Oyster Cult, Uriah Heep, Uriah Heep, yeah, Gypsy Queen, The Outlaws, Edgar Winter, 10 Years After, Savoy Brown, Pat Travers, Artemis Pyle Band, and much more. Tickets are on sale now. You can call 888-666-1499. That's 888-666-1499. Don't let that middle part scare you. Or register at rocklegendscruise.com. Rocklegendscruise.com. And when you book your cabin, please tell them Michael Buffalo sent you. Kudzu. Kudzu Magazine, Kudzu Radio, Michael Buffalo Smith, any of that. Just tell them, okay? Score me some points, would you? Please. All righty then. Let's see. It's time now to pull up this file here. And too many files for one computer. Time for the Kudzu News, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I'm going to pull Roxanne Lark back up. Roxy,
yes,
is that
I'm
you
here.
Typing?
No, that's you typing.
Oh, that's right. That's
I don't have a typewriter. You do.
That's our new news intro. That's what it is. Yeah, I know.
I
that
think you're
even
just cheating on something.
Beg your pardon?
I think you're just beating on something.
No, it's an actual typewriter, a manual typewriter. I heard them push the carriage back. That was really funny. But anyway, all right, time for the Kudzu News. This thing will stop in a second. It's only 30 seconds. Okay. Okay, folks, Kudzu News. If you're in the neighborhood on March 14th, Roxanne, March 14th, Charlie Daniels Band, with special guest Wet Willie, will play a free concert at Weston Regional Park in Weston, Florida. Free. Yes, we said free. And yes, we
going?
Said, I can't do it right now, health-wise, I can't, but I sure wish I could, because yes, we did say Jimmy Hall and the Wet Willie Band are open and keep on smiling in the rain. Oh, Grit Think Groceries and Mona Lisa Was a Man. Good stuff. All that and the Charlie Daniels Band. Oh, that's going to be good. And free. Now, there's some happy news. Once in a while, I just want some happy news. If y'all want more information on it, check out charliedaniels.com. Swamp DeWomp, Roxanne, you know them.
Yes, I do.
Swamp DeWomp gig. We'll soon announce.
Been a whole week at the beach with one of them.
Yeah, but don't even talk about that. That drummers are weird, man. I mean, he's a great guy, but don't get me wrong.
Oh, he's adorable. He's adorable.
He's adorable,
you know he
and
is.
His dog was adorable.
Yes. I want to see what she's grown up into, Neil.
Yeah. I want to see what he grows up into. Oh, wait, no, he ain't never grown up.
No, he's not.
I hope not. He's a great drummer, man. What a great drummer. And he's been with Gig since the very beginning and through all the band changes. Yeah. He's the only one that's been a constant, you know, since the very beginning. David. And but they've got the band now. This is the band now. I mean, this is THE, the band. But anyway, Swamp DeWomp's going to announce on their Facebook page sometime in the next few days a special listening party for their eagerly awaited new album, just for the fans. So keep up with the band on Facebook, and the announcement will be made. Also, they will be announcing tour dates for the new tour coinciding with the new album. It's all good. All right, another one of our Kudzoo Radio friends is Stevie Salas, right?
Yeah.
You love him. You love him, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, they are already taking pre-orders at Amazon.com for his book, When We Were the Boys, Coming of Age, yep, on Rod Stewart's Out of Order Tour by Stevie Salas. The book is a backstage pass to the ups and downs and all-out craziness of growing up rock. Deep discussions with Rod Stewart, jamming with legends like Mick Jagger and Duran, gaining groupies, imagine that, and striking out solo. The book comes out in September, and I, for one, cannot wait to get it. We will be writing a review in Kudzoo Magazine, and we will be having Stevie back on the radio show to talk about it. So that's stuff to look forward to, y'all. Put that on your calendar. Speaking of things to put on your calendar, Ringo Starr has confirmed that the Eurythmics will not be the only ones doing a reunion. Yes, Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox are going to reunite, but they're not going to be the only ones doing a reunion for the upcoming televised Beatles anniversary event. He confirmed that he, Ringo, and Paul McCartney will be playing together. The show is called The Night That Changed America, a Grammys salute to the Beatles, and will take place next Monday, January 27th, out in Los Angeles, and will air on CBS on February 9th to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' historic appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, which launched Beatlemania 50 years ago, and actually to the night and to the hour. So at 8 o'clock on that night, it'll be exactly 50 years ago, which is kind of cool the way it worked out. And I'm anxious to see Paul and Ringo together. You know, I still got Beetle juice running through my blood. Beetlejuice.
Doesn't everybody just a little bit anyhow?
Beetlejuice. I think every, you know, I told, I don't know, it might have been Leslie. I can't, one of the people I was interviewing recently, and I said, you know, it's funny. Everybody that I talk to, if they're over 40 or whatever, over 45, every time, you know, they say that watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan's show was the thing that made me want to play rock and roll. I wanted to do what they were doing. So it's kind of like you hear that over and over and over again. And, so I guess, yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, Motorhead, we love Motorhead. Motorhead has canceled their upcoming European tour for a second time, the band reported in a statement to the press. The tour was to begin first part of February. Frontman Lemmy has been struggling with health issues ever since he suffered a hematoma in July of 2013. No word yet as to when the tour will be rescheduled. Lemmy's been having a really hard time.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, bless his heart. He's a rocker, man. A rocker. Neil Young's new album will be low-tech, as I was saying earlier. Always wanted to buck a trend, Young gathered the singers and played around a single microphone and recorded live in the studio, harkening back to the way they recorded back in the 50s. Young was quoted as saying, "Do you know how much fun that was to do?" Kudzoo will play some of the tracks from the new album called A Letter Home as soon as we get the pre-release that's on the way to us. It looks like the late Freddie Mercury of Queen, who died in 1992, left behind some completed vocal tracks and the surviving members of the band are considering working up songs and finishing a full album of new material with Freddie on vocals. Wow. In 1995,
that would be awesome.
It would. I would love to hear Freddie sing again. In 1995, Queen released their 15th album, Made in Heaven, featuring vocals and piano parts Mercury had tracked before his death 4 years earlier. That was the last time all four members were heard on a record, with bassist John Deacon retiring in 1997. But as it were, he's coming back for this album too. So it will be a Queen reunion of sorts, as much as we can have. Okay, and to add a couple of little wacky news items, we always like to do that. A man who entered a bank in Daytona Beach, Florida, to pull a heist, apparently forgot an important detail: to take the money before fleeing. Cops reported that after successfully convincing a teller to fill a bag with over $25,000, he became so nervous, telling everyone to stay where they were and not move, that he backed out of the bank, got into a car, and fled, leaving the bag with all the money sitting on the counter.
Did they catch him?
They caught him and booked him for bank robbery. And he didn't get anything. He didn't even have it for 10 minutes.
If I were on the jury, I would have to find him not guilty.
Well, I know, but you know, he did pretend
he did intend.
Yeah, and he pretended he had a gun too. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, was that he had a plastic pistol in his jacket pocket, and you know, you could see the outline of it. And dumb crooks. So anyway,
I think he should plead, you know, incompetent to stand trial. I really do.
Also on the news thing, our news from our One Toke Over the Line department in Polk County, North Carolina, deputies visited the home of David Scott Schultz, 32. When they came to his door, he allegedly refused to open the door, telling the cops that he wanted to first smoke a joint. And he did, before surrendering peacefully, according to the report. The cops were there to arrest him for illegal possession of marijuana. They must have thought he was living in Colorado or something. I don't know. One joke over the line. One joke over the line. Okay, let's run down birthdays today. Birthdays today and this week. Okay, birthdays of important people today. N.C. Thurman of the Decoys down in Alabama plays with Scott Boyer, David Hood, and everybody. A very important person to us, Kenny King. Happy birthday to Kenny today.
Dear sweet Kenny, love him.
Georgia boy, he's a good feller.
He is a good Georgia boy, and you know what? He gets me unlost so many times. I really should put him on my payroll, honestly.
He's done that. I remember he did that with us once.
But that wasn't the first time, and it sure hadn't been the last.
No,
Every time I go through Georgia, I end up calling that boy.
That's a good. Dick Cooper's birthday is today, my good friend from Muscle Shoals. We got a featured interview with Dick in the next issue of Kudzu. He's the curator of the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, but he used to be early on a road manager for Skynyrd, and then he was the road manager for Drive-By Truckers for a long time. He's a professional music photographer. Just a very eclectic guy, Dick Cooper, a wonderful guy. Also today, Billy Greer, who's coming up on the Kudzu Radio Hour in a couple of weeks. Really cool guys, bassist for the band Kansas. He actually started out in Florida playing with a lot of the Southern Rock guys, and he ended up when David Holt left Kansas to do Christian music. They hired Billy, and he's been there for the duration. Back when I did a cover story on Kansas for Goldmine back in way back. he was there. Huey Piano Smith, R&B pianist, who had the 1958 single, number 9 single, Don't You Just Know It. It's his birthday today. He also played the piano on Frankie Ford's big hit, Won't You Let Me Take You On a Sea Cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Thank you. Thank you very much. Corky Lang's birthday, drummer with Mountain. Yeah. Nantucket Sleigh Ride and all that good stuff. And today's birthday, Eddie Van Halen. Dutch guitarist, Eddie Van Halen. We know about him. I don't have to tell you that. Had a number one hit in 1984 called Jump. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eddie Van Halen. What a guitar player. Birthdays on Monday include Richard Young of the Kentucky Headhunters, a good friend of mine, and Bobby Blue Bland, the great blues man. It's his birthday. Passed away in 2013. And the story about that, I don't know if I've ever even told you, but I had met him on Facebook and was going to do an interview with him or get him on the radio show. This was about 2 years ago. And he was all into it. And then his health declined. Never got to talk to him. Bobby Blue Bland. Tuesday's birthdays include Betty LaVette, who is a R&B monster from Muscle Shoals scene. She's recorded with everybody. Wednesday, another friend of mine, Taz Pennington. His birthday. He's the drummer for Edwin McCain, lives in Greenville, and he is a badass drummer. Thursday is like, what is it, Michael's friend's birthday? I can't help it, folks. I know some people. Thursday, Guy Gilchrist, the cartoonist that does Nancy, and he also records and writes songs. His birthday's Thursday, and Saturday will be Richard Williams, also of Kansas, the guy that has the eye patch, you know, that guy. The one that also lost like 100 pounds or whatever. So anyway, that's the news. And it is time now to go to, we've got to move across here to get some peach music ready.
And, oh, you're going to love this.
No, I already do. I've been listening to her all day. I'm into it. I'm into it. This lady is bad to the bone. And yep. I believe she's on. Hey, it's going to be a rhyme. She's bad to the bone and she's already on the phone. So,
great.
Roseanne, I'll talk to you
on
a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's play, we'll play a peach. Thank you. All right. It's hard to decide. I like all of them. So I'm just going to play one. Let's go with, come up and see me sometime. This is Peach. We're going to be on the phone with her in just a couple minutes.
We can go when we really wanna shake it down.
Yeah, that's some blues you can use right there, folks. Peach, and come up and see me sometime on the Kudzu Radio Hour. I'm your host, Michael Buffalo Smith. And on the line, I believe we have Peach. I'm opening up right now. Is that
I
you,
am
Peach?
Right here. Yes,
so
it is.
So happy to have you. So happy to have you here. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. And
yeah.
Man, just been rocking me some Peach music all day long.
I just love it. I love it.
Well, so glad. Okay, well, we want to kind of introduce everybody to you a little bit. I want to ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
All right,
and,
yes.
Yeah, find out more about you. So you're based out in Los Angeles, right?
I live in L.A. now, but I grew up in Indiana.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I have the pretty much the southern drawl. I've
well,
got
good.
The deep southern
yeah.
accent. And, in fact, I'm getting ready to go there on Tuesday, and I hear it's just freezing.
Yeah,
Woo.
It's really cold in the south right now.
Yeah.
How's the weather out in California right now?
It's really nice, so it's kind of insane that I'm going back, but I got to see my family. So, you know,
yeah.
get
there
out the cold weather gear, you know.
Yeah, you ought to do that old, I remember the old song Jackson 5 used to do, going back to Indiana.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Got to rock that one out sometime.
Yeah.
That was cool. Who were your go back a few years and talk about who were your major your musical influences when you were a buddy? Everybody. In
well,
the world.
My musical influences are all over the map. I mean,
yeah, sure.
You know, I'm a guitar player, so in the guitar department, I mean, I've had a lot of favorites, but. Freddie King is pretty much someone I love, and B.B. King too. I like those, and Little Milton. Those three guitar players are, you know, and then I like Cornell Dupree, who you know is more R&B-ish.
Yeah.
There are those people too that I listen to a lot, but the guys that really got me were Freddie King and B.B. King.
Yeah.
And. And then vocally, you know, I listened to everybody, loved everybody, went through phases with everybody. You know, when you're a young singer, sometimes you'll go through an Aretha Franklin period, then you go through a Billie Holiday period, then you go through a Bessie Smith period, you know. And I think that when you get finished with all your, different people that you love, you end up with yourself, you know, and that's where I hope I've finally landed on where I really actually, you know, sound like me. But I went through, you know, a lot of different people growing up. I mean, I even love Joni Mitchell. I love the songwriting of Bob Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Even some of his modern times, Bob Dylan's last recording, I wasn't into all the songs on there, but he had this one called "Spirit on the Water."
Yeah.
And it was the most beautiful love song, and it was like, "I'm just wild about you, babe. You ought to be a fool about me." And I just thought, man, you know, such good lyrics, you know.
He never it's like a well that never runs dry. Isn't he?
Yeah. I love John Prine's lyrics.
Yeah.
But I also just love the blues. I mean, I honestly do just love the blues. I love other kinds of music as well, which is kind of, I think, I don't know, because I don't know what other people are, you know, do, but I know, you know, for me, I mean, I like all kinds of music if it's good. You know, I like Brazilian music a lot. I like classical. I like, good old rock and roll, you know.
Right.
So
your rule is just if, and I agree with it. I'm exactly the same way. As long as it's good music, it doesn't matter what classification it is. As long as it's good, it's going to be good, right?
I mean, but when it gets down to what I play, what comes out of me, it's usually blues. But it can also be other stuff that I've gotten into. Like, you know, like when I was a young girl, I went through a Brazilian phase, you know.
Oh, wow.
I went through the Jobim Astro Gilberto era, you know, just because I got into these people. I thought, wow, what is that they're doing, you know? But, you know, that's a different kind of stuff. You know, you do that maybe late at night or, you know, something. But when it comes to, you know, hitting a stage or when it comes to what I want to play for 4 hours, and, you know, without stopping, it would be blues, you know? I mean, and that only was something I discovered pretty late in life. I mean, because I'd been in so many different kinds of bands just to, yeah, you know, make it all work. So finally, you know, when I started playing blues, I realized I was a blues woman. But it really came, that revelation came to me rather late, really did. I never knew that as a young girl. I mean, I didn't give it any thought. I didn't even realize that some of the songs that I played and loved were the blues. I just was playing them, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. Well, see, your latest album is called The Real Deal, and it is the real deal.
Yeah, the real thing. The real thing.
The real, oh, it's that, it's
the real thing.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's
the real thing.
And, yeah, let me change it.
And then the track, The Real Thing, was the track that I sang with Taj Mahal. We did a duet.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And,
that's amazing.
That was a real thrill.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I mean, how in the world did you get all these, it's like you got all these A-list players on your album.
Oh, it was just a nutty, nutty time. I mean, because of Marty Greb, who has now moved back to the East Coast and lives in Baltimore, if he hears this broadcast. But Marty and I knew a lot of players in common, and then Marty knew a lot of people I had the chance to meet, like Taj Mahal, and he knew them way back, you know, way back, like Woodstock, you know, era.
Yeah.
And so when it came to getting these tracks going, you know, Marty would say, you know, on that one, I think we really ought to call Taj. And I'm like, well, sure, you know.
Yeah,
so over time, we hauled in a bunch of people, you know. But it took time because we would have to table some of our stuff until we could wrangle, you know, these people. You know, like we had to wait till Taj happened to be in L.A., you know.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the budget to, like, fly him in or anything like that.
Right.
So we were waiting, you know, for these people. You know, I would go on their computer sites and see, you know, what their touring schedules were, and then we go, hey.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. And, yeah, and Garth
Hudson.
Gonna
be in town.
I mean, yeah.
You know, I mean, we
there's
talk
so many
into
people, though. I mean, it's like I was impressed with all the names, you know. I mean, it's like I love Garth Hudson. I like the band a lot. And it was kind of cool that you ended up with him. And
yeah.
And God well, bless Kid and Kev Moe. Oh.
Yeah, Kevin and I co-wrote a song that I've got up on the internet, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote this song with him that I just put up on the internet this year. And it's done so well, that one little track. And that, the posted track on YouTube of a song called It Meant Nothing, we put that up. It was just out of a coffee shop. And so I put that up on the internet, and we've got like 248,000 views right now on that.
Whoa.
On that video. And then we have two brand new videos that just went up this week.
Huh.
And we had to remount them, so we're just in the process of getting the addresses up and running on my website, which is peach.us.
Yeah.
So we're getting those videos posted.
Yeah.
I was encouraging the webmaster to get them posted before we talk today, but I don't think they're quite on there yet. The Kebmo one is, the co-write with Kebmo's up on that website, but the two brand new ones aren't on there yet.
I was reading that you were really getting into the YouTube phenomenon and doing this all sort and really having a good time with the video. What intrigued you so much about it?
Well, actually, I've been, you know, playing with my band, and I've been playing here pretty much in L.A. at the House of Blues about once a month. I'll play there. And they'll ask, you know, the way they evaluate an artist now, they look at your Facebook. They look at how many people you have on Facebook. They look at how many hits you have on YouTube.
Well,
and they kind of evaluate where you fit in on that. And therefore, I realized, well, and I also just wanted to get some videos done because people would always say, well, you know, you don't really play blues or something, you know. Because I don't know what the look you're supposed to have, what kind of a look you're supposed to have. But evidently, people just didn't think I looked like I played blues. So.
Oh, Lord.
So I felt like I had to get a video that would, you know, put the final kibosh on that discussion.
Yeah.
A take no prisoners. And so I feel very good about the video we put up called Today I Sing the Blues. And, you know, I will argue down anybody on that, whether I am a blues singer or not. You know, then just go look at that video and then, you know, and then don't talk to me.
Exactly. I don't see how anybody could say that you're not a blues singer myself. I mean, I don't get it.
Well, you know, I just freak out if, you know, I don't know. I don't really get it. But I do love the blues. You know, I've loved the blues, you know, for many, many years. And I've played the blues for many, many years. But like I said, I never realized. For years, I didn't know that I was actually a blues person. You know, I really didn't know. I mean, I know that may sound crazy to people that are in the blues, you know, that play blues clubs all the time and everything. But actually, it was a girlfriend of mine who kind of pointed me in that direction. And she just said, you know, whenever you play blues, that's all your best material. And I'm like, really? You know? But, you know, I grew up when radio used to play, you know, all kinds of different music. It was, you know, even before all the formatting. This is a blues station. This is a jazz station. This is a rock and roll station. And, you know, so now it would be unthinkable to not know what genre is your deal, you know. But I grew up playing, I just grew up playing, and you know, and of course, I never thought I would, you know, be playing at this age and time in my life. But now I want to play more than ever.
Yeah.
Man, I've got Have Guitar Will Travel written all over me.
Well, I mean, yeah, and so, you know, blues players, they age like fine wine, baby.
That's right.
I mean, you know, that's the way it goes. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. Johnny Winter told me that he, in an interview one time, he said, man, he said, the older I get, the more I feel like a real blues man.
Yes.
You know?
Well, that is true.
Yeah,
well, and the older I get, the more I feel that I feel that I connect, you know, to my performances and you know, it's just, you know, I cannot be denied. You know, when I was young, I actually, you know, had a lot of insecurity in my early years and early performances. And I think it reflected in my performances, you know, because I would be intimidated by people.
Yeah.
But that rarely happens now, although, of course, I still get intimidated by people, but only because I understand what they're doing and I really admire what they do. like the guitar player on my last video here, Josh Sclair, who played for many years with Etta James. And and today, I guess, was Etta's birthday, you know, and Etta passed a while back. And, you know, we all owe her such a great debt.
True.
For the music she put out there. Well, Josh played with her, and so whenever I play with Josh, I'm always just so in awe of his playing. I mean, because on so many levels, he, you know, is such one of the great, great players. So,
man, got the blues.
Yeah, he can play it.
There was a girl I worked with one time, African American girl named Millicent. She was wonderful, but we were all going to see Buddy Guy, right? And she got so excited, she stood up in the audience and just screamed out, "Man got the blues!" And after that, we started saying that all the time. I still say it today. Man got the blues.
That is so great.
I mean, yeah, Buddy just wore her out. About time he dropped that dynamic all the way back from the microphone like he does and stepped back about 3 feet, and he's still singing, but you can barely hear him, you know. I just love
that. Oh, that's so great.
It was, and that's when it got real quiet. She stood up and yelled it. And I'm like, yep, that's it. That's the last time I'm thinking about the show, baby.
That's like, too funny.
Yeah, it was funny. But I told him after the show, I said, he said, "Was." I said, "This is the girl that yelled out." He laughed. He said, "Well, she's telling the truth. If you're telling the truth, that's all that matters." So, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's so great.
Buddy's wonderful. But you're a really, really good songwriter too. I wanted to ask you if you would just tell me a little bit about, everybody's got a different process for writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your process? How do you write?
You know, I can only write from the heart. You know, I'm not the kind of writer where you could come to me and say, I need a song, I need it to be 3.5 minutes, and I need it to be about a young girl who, you know, lost her father or something, you know, for whatever reason. And, you know, I can't write like that. That's how I don't write. You know, because some people have that gift. They can just sit down and they can say, okay, today I'm going to write songs, and I'm going to write songs all day, and the first one's going to be about this, and the second one's going to be about that, and I don't do that. Most of my songs, though, it's kind of funny, they're either about getting into a relationship and being in love, or about getting out of the relationship. And as somebody once said, that, you know, songs are like marriage. They're a lot easier to get into than out of. Easier to get into than out
that's
of.
True, that's
so
true.
So my songs, I get into a song. I usually start writing a few words and some chords on the guitar. And then I write those down so I don't forget them. And then I go back and I start adding to that. And then it's a process of a few days, you know, where I keep adding to it. But often then I get pretty far with it. And then I often consult somebody who I respect as a songwriter and say, you know, what do you think about this? I mean, can you think of any better transition to the bridge from the A section, or, you know, and then I'll pull in some collaborative spirit.
Yeah.
And so I've done that with Kev Moe on that one tune, and then Marty Greb, and, you know, a few other people along the way. And so I feel like if anybody is in the room writing with me when I'm writing, then they're a co-writer, and they should be credited. But most of the songs I write are like 80% mine, and then I ask somebody to kind of polish it off or make it a little special, you know, in some way that I'm not seeing, you know. So I like to do it in a collaborative way. But usually my songs are about love or the loss of love.
Of course, yeah.
Those are the
universal
two big themes. I'm stuck. I'm stuck in those themes.
You know, if we're still doing the vinyl albums, you could do one that's Peach, and it would be like side one is getting in, and side two is getting out. That would be like.
That's right.
Just picture that, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
That'd be cool. Well, it's time to play another Peach song, and then
all right,
we'll come back up and we'll come back on and wrap up. And, but I want to go ahead and play this one here called Someone Else is Stepping In.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Woman got the
written
blues.
Written by Denise LaSalle, another woman, man.
Woman got the blues. All right, we'll be back with Peach in just a minute.
All righty.
What a shock when he found out his key no longer fit my lock. Oh, baby, you can go back where you've been. You've been stepping out. I was a fool you could count on, the one that you could call when no one else was at home. Oh, baby, remember how you treated me.
Yeah, I like that, man. Peach.
Yeah, thank
sounding
you.
Sounding good. I like that bass, man. That
thank
bass
you.
Sounds good. That bass sounding good, too.
Yeah.
I love the blues.
Yes,
I'm not afraid to. I'm not afraid to say it. I just. I had
just
somebody
think.
Tell me one time, all the blues songs sound just alike. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you're listening to. If you're talking about 12-bar blues, yeah, a lot of them are similar, but there's so many other blues, you know.
I got to talk to Denise LaSalle regarding that.
Oh,
really? Somehow I got a hold of her phone number, and I just called her up, and she wrote it, and, you know, I just wanted to talk to her, you know.
I don't blame
you. She really laid some groundwork for us all. So I don't know. I've had a really lucky life.
Yeah, you really have. You've been right in there with all the greats, you know. That's so cool.
Yeah, but, you know, I've always kind of been in the shadows.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to step out. Like, I'm ready to travel now. My daughter's in college now, and, you know, there's nothing really, you know, keeping me from hitting wherever I need to go.
You know, Bonnie Raitt and Susan Tedeschi needs to, watch out because you're coming. Well, I'll tell you, Susan right now, watch out. This girl's coming too.
Well,
yeah, that'd be good. I can see that. You know, I can see that happening easily. Now, I tell you, did you ever, I know we're on the air and everything, that might not be proper, but I used to talk a lot to the guy that owns Alligator Records. Now, have you ever thought about talking to him?
Bruce Iglauer.
Yeah, Bruce.
I did years ago.
Well, hit him with his new stuff, and you tell him, Michael Buffalo Smith, that used to do Grits Magazine, said that you need to sign me and give me all kinds of money.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there are advantages to, you know, signing with different people.
Well, Alligator's a great company.
Yeah, but mostly I'm just, you know, mostly for me it would just mean getting to, you know, hit the road and promote it, you know.
Right, yeah.
Which I would really like to do. And, I mean, I've got a whole bunch of material that I haven't recorded yet. I've really got to do another recording pretty soon. But I've been focusing. I'm going to go play in San Francisco in late April. And I've been focusing on new material for that gig and, you know, just an all-out, you know, crazy show, you know. Take No Prisoners kind of
that'd be great.
Playing. I mean, I'll be playing slide. I'm going to be playing, you know, of course, my electric. I'll be, you know, trading solos with the guitar player. And, you know, just, you know, we're just going to go up there and knock the socks out of that, you know.
That'd be great.
And I'm working on new material for that. And I'm really... you know, looking forward to it. That's at a place called Biscuits and Blues, Blues Club in San Francisco.
What a great name.
And I lived up there at one point for 10 years, but I somehow ended up moving down to L.A., and then I got married and, you know, ended up staying in L.A.
Yeah.
But, there's some great players here. Yeah. But there are not a lot of great blues clubs in L.A., you know.
Did you like living in Los Angeles?
I like the weather. But you know, every place you live, there's always, if you really look at it, there's always the pluses and the minuses. You know, there's the good list and the bad list. I mean, you just get used to the weather here. You know, like I do a lot of stuff outside, and I stay active physically so that I can keep myself together and fit, like for this performance in April where, you know, we're doing two shows back-to-back of an hour and a half each. So, you know, I want to be in top physical shape, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
To knock it down.
Yeah, we've seriously run out of time.
The
timer will click off if I'm not careful, and I've got to get in. I've got to play the real thing before I go.
Let's sign off with that.
But I wanted to say thank you and tell us again, tell everybody again, your website has got a .us.
It's simply www.peach, like the fruit or the color, however you want to think of it, .fruit. And then U.S. U.S. as in United States. There's no .com involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Just simply peach.us. And the new videos, I was told, while we've been on the air, are going to be up by 7 p.m. tonight on the front page of the website, peach.us,
and that would be
10 the new videos.
For those of you here where I'm at, South Carolina.
Yeah.
That'll be
yeah.
10 o'clock. That's in about an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's all good. Well, yeah, we'll be watching for it. And
all right. And
we'll
I sent a link, the links of the two videos over to you via email a little bit ago as well.
Well, good. Well, we'll do anything we can to continue promoting you. We'll keep on playing your stuff. Now, how long is this album? Did you say this real thing? How long has it been out?
Well, it started to come out a few, a couple years ago, and then it didn't, and so it's being re-released right now.
Right, okay.
So that's what we're doing.
That was one reason I'm asking is because I have Kudzu Magazine, and I do album reviews. If that would, if you have any interest, if you can send me the digital files or whatever.
I'll appreciate it. I'll have Doug Deutsch do that for you. We ought to thank Doug Deutsch, his publicity for hooking us up. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Doug is also man in the blues.
Yeah, he's a bass man. Got the blues.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Peach, and continue success.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon. I hope.
All right. Thanks for all you do. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, let's listen to one more about Peach. This is The Real Thing, the title track on the new album. Yeah, man. Peach. Man, is she ever good. We're going to keep watching her. I want to thank Peach, and I want to thank Roscoe Levy for being on the program this week. We're not going to have a radio program next Sunday night simply because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and nobody will be listening. And I'm going to be watching the football game. How about that? February 9th, we return with Billy Greer, the bass player for Kansas, who has a lot of Southern rock ties, too, by the way, and also Preacher Stone. So it's going to be really cool stuff all the way around. Coming in about the first part of February, the new issue of Kudzu magazine. Be on the lookout for that. We're going to go out now with a little bit of John Lee Hooker Jr. John Lee Hooker Jr. doing one of the songs made popular by his dad, John Lee. And we'll catch you on the Kudzu Radio Hour next week.
Thank you! Boom, boom, boom! Shoot you down right off your feet and take you home with me and put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. I like the way you walk up and down the floor when you do the boogie woogie. I wanna do it some more. Boom, boom.